Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we're going to bring to a close our study of the book of Acts. And it's amazing. Luke is the one who writes the book of Acts, and he's given the history of the first century church. It's about 30 years. You realize that Jesus died approximately 31, 32, 33. The book of Acts basically starts then about 32, 33 and goes to about 62, 63. So it's about 30-year time period is all. It begins with the death and resurrection with Jesus Christ and his ascension, and it goes through Paul and his imprisonment. And we see the spread of the message. And that's really the bottom line. The spread of the message of Jesus Christ beginning in Jerusalem and then through Judea and Samaria and then to the whole world. That's what we're seeing. We're bringing our study to a close today. It seems to me like we just started it, but I looked it up and it's a year and a half. So, and that's the way we do, because what we try to do is go verse by verse, passage by passage. Sometimes there's some places that you say, well, we're not going to go into a lot of detail there, but books like this, you want to see how it fits together. And we want to do that this morning. We're going to just bring it together, sort of a close. And we're going to do several things. We're going to look at the structure of the book. And we're going to see the theme and message. We're going to talk about the main persons. And this is what we studied for a year and a half. We're going to talk about, I'm just going to give you some of the main events to remind you. And then we're going to look at verses 30 and 31, the closing where Paul, what happened? What did he do in that two-year time period? And then the bottom line, of course, as always with the study of the Bible, is to make application. And we want to remember something about the book of Acts. It doesn't really end. I mean, if you've been reading it, it just says that Paul was in his rented house for 2 years, and he was proclaiming the gospel unhindered. That's how it stops. It doesn't say, and then after that, Paul went somewhere else, and then it's saying, that's sort of the end of Paul. It doesn't say any of that. It just ends. And Paul is in prison waiting to stand before the emperor. And what we know from history is Paul did go before the emperor and was released after 2 years. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But the book of Acts doesn't end, because the message of Jesus Christ and spreading that message of Jesus Christ doesn't end. We're the ones to carry and proclaim the message of Christ even now. And as we study the book of Acts, we're going to continue the book of Acts. Think about the New Testament. It's full. I mean, think about the Gospels. You got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they give us basically the life and ministry of Christ. And then you've got the book of Acts. But then you think of Paul, and that's who we're looking at right now. But Paul wrote 13 letters in the New Testament. And you got John, who wrote 5, and you got Peter, who wrote 2, and then you got James, and you got the others, and you got people like Paul and Silas and James and John and Barnabas and Timothy and Lydia and all these people that are all found throughout the New Testament and also found throughout the book of Acts. And when you think about the book of Acts, it gives us history. But here's the key. Two things stand out, or two people stand out. Peter stands out as the apostle to the Jews. Now, he went to all people, Jews and Gentiles, but he's called the apostle to the Jews. And Paul stands out as the apostle to the Gentiles. He would go to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, but he's known as the apostle to the Gentiles. And so when we think about those guys, we say, oh, they were so special, they were unique, and they were used by God. But do you realize that every one of us, every one of you in this room are special and unique? And we can be used by God. That in the same way that God would take Paul and Peter and Barnabas and James and John and all those people, and he would use them for his glory, he could take every one of us in this room and use us for his glory. We are special and unique. Psalm 139, every one of you formed in your mother's womb by God himself. We are to this generation as Paul and Peter were to their generation. We are the ones to take the message of Jesus Christ to our community, to help people come to know Christ as Savior and to grow. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we're ambassadors for Christ as though God did beg through us. We're the representatives. And so this morning as we finish the book of Acts, just remember we're finishing the book of Acts, but the message and the ministry of Acts never stops. We keep proclaiming the message. Each generation passing the truth to the next generation. We're witnesses in this community and on the campus and in the workplace and in our families, in our neighborhoods. May we be excited to spread the message. Well, let's look at Acts chapter 1 just for a second. That's the start, and we want you to see the beginning. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, notice it basically Luke is writing to a friend, to a man by the name of Theophilus. And he's telling him that he's going to continue the message of Jesus. Notice what he says. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. The first account was the Gospel of Luke. He says, this is the second thing. I started to talk about Jesus, what he began to do, until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had by the Holy Spirit had given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he presented himself alive after suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. What Luke is really saying is, Theophilus, I wrote you two letters. This is my second one. The first one was about the life of Christ in the gospel, what we call Gospel of Luke. He says the second is what happened after Jesus died, walked on the earth 40 days, and ascended into heaven. And he said this book, which we call the Acts of the Apostles, is actually giving a brief history of what happened after Jesus died and rose again. And you realize this. Jesus came to the earth, lived to about age 30, began his ministry about age 30, had his ministry three and a half years, died on the cross, was buried 3 days later, rose again, walked on the earth for 40 days, and ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father. What happened after that? A group of believers came together. In a sense, God put together what he calls the church, and we have the responsibility to take the message on, begun by those 12 or those 11 men that Jesus Christ had chosen. We see in the book of Acts how this message of Jesus Christ was proclaimed. Let me show you something in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It gives us really the flow of the book. In fact, listen to this. He says to this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit come upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the remotest part of the world. That verse breaks down the book for us. Chapters 1 through 7 of the book of Acts talks about what happened in Jerusalem. Chapters 8 through 12, what happens in Judea and Samaria. And chapters 13 through 28 is the spread of the message to the rest of the world. And for those of you who have been here the whole time and been going through the book, and this is not new at all. Some have been gone for the summer and maybe forgotten some of the things. And there may be somebody here for the first time who says, wow, I didn't know anything about the book of Acts. That's how it fits together. What is the theme and the message of the book of Acts? You know, sometimes it's easy to tell in a book. You can pick up the Gospel of John, and it tells you very quickly, or very at the end of the book, he basically says, the whole purpose of the Gospel of John is that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, you'd have eternal life. What we see about the book of Acts is it's showing us the spread of the message. The spread of the gospel message concerning Jesus Christ begins in Jerusalem and goes through the whole known world. And when we say known world, we see it ending with Paul taking it to Rome, but it goes further than that. Paul even talks about, I'm going to Spain, I'm going to these other places, and the message is spread. Now, there is a key that we have to remember, and the key is that the message that is being spread is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus came to the earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. That was the message. And if you go through the book of Acts, which we've done over a year and a half, verse by verse, passage by passage, every time Peter, Paul, one of these men speak, they say, Jesus died and rose again. That is the good news message. And that's the message that we take into this community. We tell people that Jesus is the Son of God who came to the earth and died on the cross to pay for sin and was buried and rose again, and gives eternal life to all who simply believe. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved except the name Jesus Christ. When the Philippian jailer said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the message. And by the way, it is simple. And let me say it again. When we go out these doors, we're going to tell people that Jesus died and rose again, paying for sin and conquered death. And if you will believe in him, if you will trust in him, you will have eternal life. It is that simple. But the controversy of the message of Jesus Christ is all the time. It happened even in the first century. We're going to see it in the book of Acts. They begin to argue, do Gentiles have to become Jews to be saved? In other words, do the Gentiles have to come under Mosaic law in order to become Christians? The answer is no. Everyone is saved the same way, simply by faith. And the controversy in Acts 15, and I put here, there will always be those who change the clear grace message of faith alone in Christ alone. And you'll see it today. Go on that campus, go in the communities, you'll find that people don't say it's faith alone in Christ alone. They will add other things. Let's think about some of the key persons. In chapters 1 through 12, Peter's the man. He's the guy. We know Peter. If you've studied the Gospels, you see that Peter is one of those leaders. He's an automatic leader. He says what he wants to say. Many times it's wrong. Sometimes it's right. He's a great leader, and God chose him, and Peter was raised up in the day of Pentecost to proclaim the message of Christ, and he was an amazing man, and he took the message not only to Jews, he took it to Gentiles as well, but he's primarily known as the apostle to the Jews, and that was his message. Then we see in chapters 13 through 28 of the book, Paul is the man. And Paul's called the apostle, and although he would go to the Jew first, he would always go to the Gentile, and he's known as the apostle to the Gentiles. He went all over the world, 3 missionary journeys, 4 forming churches, being persecuted, all of these kind of things. And we've been doing the study, and we had the map up and showing where Paul went and where he founded churches and all kind of things, and it's really amazing. He would go into a community. And he'd go normally to the Jew first, and he would go into the synagogues, and they would look at him and they'd say, "You have anything to say?" And he would say, "Yeah, I happen to have something to say." And he would stand up and he would give the gospel, and sometimes people would believe, and then they would run him out, and then he would go to the Gentiles and they would believe, and then the Jews would persecute him and run him out of town, and they'd go to the next town and they'd do the same thing. And he went over and over and over, and he formed churches and he wrote letters, and he was an amazing man. I want you to see something in Acts chapter 26. I want you to turn over there just for a second. Acts chapter 26. I want you to see the commission that God gave to Paul. And even though it's to Paul, you understand that the commission is very similar to what we have, almost the same thing. Acts chapter 26, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking to Paul. Paul is telling the story, but it's Jesus speaking on the road to Damascus. And here's what he says to Paul. "But get up. Stand on your feet." This is verse 16. "For this purpose I have appeared to you." This is Jesus saying, "I've appeared to you, Paul, for this purpose, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only the things which you have seen, but the things in which I'm going to appear to you. I'm going to rescue you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, and here is the ministry." And we got it there. There's his commission. And then here is exactly what he says. Look at verse 18. "I want you to open their eyes so that they may go from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." You understand that's our message? We go out and we tell people to put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, that he is the one who died for them and paid for sin and rose again. And when they trust in him, they have eternal life. And when they trust in him, they go from darkness to light. In fact, I think I have it on this slide. They have forgiveness of sin. Is there something that says, you know, they go from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God, and they have forgiveness of sin and an inheritance, and that inheritance is a new home and a new body and eternal life and all of those things. All of that comes about simply by faith. We get to tell people the same thing. You have the same message that Paul had. I mean, all of us in the room would say, Paul's the greatest. Wouldn't it be great to be like Paul, or like Peter, or like John, or like James, or like some of the Barnabas, or some of those other people, or Lydia, or those people? Wouldn't it be great to be like them and to be in the Bible? Well, you might not be in the Bible, but you guess what? You're like them. You have exactly the same message that they have. We get to go into our community with the message of Jesus Christ. Great truths. Let me tell you about some key events, okay? Let's look at some key events in the book of Acts, and you can write some of this in your bulletin if you want to. The first key event is the day of Pentecost. It was the coming of the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ had gone, and he told them that one of these days, after he leaves, that the Spirit would come, put them together in the body, and they would be servants of Christ. Jesus ascended into heaven. 10 days after he ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit came. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we call it the day of Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit came, putting believers into the body of Christ. Every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, you've been placed in the body of Christ in the same way. The moment you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit put you in Christ, which is the church. We're all members of the body of Christ, the church. That was a key event. There was a second thing, that the ministry of the church in Acts 2, verses 42, and then on down in verse 46, they continued, stay right there, 42. They were amazing ministry of the church in the early days. They taught the Bible. They took care of each other. They met in small groups. They met in big groups. They went into their community. They were taking the message of Jesus Christ. And they were persecuted, because as you look a little further down, and the third thing is the persecutions. Here's a man named Stephen stood for Christ, and they actually killed him. And the apostles stood for Christ, and they arrested him and put him in jail. One of the times, and I'll just tell you the story, they brought him back in there, and they said, "You're in jail, and you're in jail because you're talking about this Jesus. We want you to stop. From now on, you cannot talk about Jesus." And they said, "Should we obey God or you?" "We're going to obey God. We cannot stop but tell what we know about Christ." Amazing truths. Then there are two things about two key salvations. In Acts chapter 9, Paul the apostle comes to know Christ. Now, I have to remind you of this just so you understand it. Most people do, but Paul's got two names. His name is Saul and Paul. Okay, Saul means ask, Paul means little. Best we can tell about this guy, that there's a guy by the name of Onesiphorus of Iconium who actually supposedly saw Paul and describes him. And I read that to our group one day, one of the lessons back several months ago, and that Paul was a small guy, bald-headed, a big one, eyebrow, going all the way across, bow-legged, couldn't see, and as Paul would say, my physical body is not intimidating, but my message is powerful. And so this man named Saul or Paul was a Pharisee. And he grew up as being the top student of the leading teacher of the day. And he did not believe in Jesus of Nazareth. He thought that Jesus was a fraud. And he was persecuting the believers. And one day he was on the way to Damascus with some written letters from the high priest that he could arrest anybody who called on the name of Jesus Christ and said they believed in Christ. He was going to arrest them, bring them back to Jerusalem, and many of them were going to be put to death. And on the way to Damascus, Jesus Christ appeared to him in a flashing light that knocked him off whatever animal he was riding on, and he couldn't see. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus. And best we can understand is Saul, Paul, trusted in Jesus right there. And the man who was the greatest persecutor of the church in the first century became the greatest proclaimer of the message of Jesus Christ in the first century. And so many of us would say, boy, why can't we be like Paul? He never quit. They'd throw him in jail. He'd come out of jail. Shipwreck happened. It didn't matter. He was an amazing man. The second salvation that is key in the book of Acts was this man named Cornelius, who was actually a Gentile. And at the beginning of the church, almost everybody who trusted Christ were Jewish. But this man named Cornelius was a good man, and he actually loved Jewish people, and he was praying to God, and God sent a message to him and said, send for a guy named Peter. He will tell you how you can have eternal life salvation. And Cornelius sent for Peter, and Peter came, and they all fell down in front of Peter, and Peter said, hey, no, get up. I'm not God. And he told them the truth about Jesus, and Cornelius and his whole family trusted Christ. And all of a sudden they begin to realize that the message of Christ wasn't just for Jews. It was for Gentiles. And the Jewish Christians didn't really want it going to the Gentiles because Jews didn't like Gentiles. But the message began to spread. And that's why that was so important. And then if you look at the Father, the number five is Peter's continued ministry. He went all over. I think one of my favorite stories is Peter went to a place and there was a woman by the name of Dorcas. And she was an older woman, and she was famous for doing good deeds. She would make people clothes, and she would give to widows clothes, and she died. And everybody was so sad, and they sent word to Peter, and they said, Peter, Dorcas died. He said, I'll be there. He was in a different town. He said, I'll be there soon. When he got there, they had her body laid out in an upper room, washed and ready for burial. Normally they buried him the same day they died, but they thought Peter was coming and knew Peter was an apostle. Maybe something might happen, so let's don't go bury her. And when Peter got there, he spoke to her and he raised her from the dead. See, an apostle was a representative of Jesus Christ with the authority of Jesus Christ. And the apostles could do miracles. They authenticated the message with miracles. There aren't any apostles anymore. We're not apostles, we're ambassadors, and there's a difference. And then the council at Jerusalem. And I mentioned that a while ago. You got to understand that even in the Bible and in the beginning of the church, there were some people who said it can't be just faith in Christ. It has to be more than that. And they had a big council meeting to decide what exactly is the message. And they decided that the message is it's faith in Christ plus nothing. Now, let me tell you, you know that when you go out these doors, and you see people in the community, you see people on the campus, you turn on the radio, you pick up books, you're going to find many places where it's not just faith in Christ. It's something else. There's going to always be people who change the grace message of salvation. You got to stand strong. Then we saw Paul's journeys. I think number 7. And that was fun because we had the map and we went to all the places and everything like that. And then finally, the last thing was his imprisonment and his defense of the faith and all of those things. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. And I want to read a verse to you that we read a while ago. And I want you to just see a great truth about what Paul did. Acts 28:23. I read this one earlier, but this is Paul. Now let me remind you of something. Paul has been arrested and tried, and before the Romans he was found not guilty. But the Jews kept causing such an uproar that Paul appealed to Caesar. Paul was a Roman citizen, which most Jewish people weren't Roman citizens. Paul's father was a Roman citizen. Paul was born a Roman citizen. And so he appealed to Caesar, which was like going to the Supreme Court. He was going to be taken to Rome to stand before an emperor, and the emperor's name was Nero. We talked about this last week because if you think of Paul, and by the time this is going on, Paul is probably in his 60s. And if you think about Nero, I don't know what you think about Nero, but the time that Paul stood before Nero, Nero was no more older than 25 years old. Nero became the emperor when he was 17. So you got a 25-year-old, wicked, evil young man, and the great apostle Paul standing before him. And you know, guess who's on trial? It isn't Paul. It's Nero. And so Paul is going to go before Nero, and yet it's going to take 2 years before he ever gets there. And look what happens. When Paul got to Rome, he decided he wanted to talk to the Jews. And I'm not talking about Christians here. We're talking about people who didn't believe in Jesus. And so here's what happened. Look at verse 23. When they had set a day for Paul, they came to him. The Jewish people came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And he was explaining to them. Now look what he was doing. He was testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets from morning until evening. Paul wanted to tell them about the kingdom, because we talked about this last week. If you're Jewish, you're not looking for heaven. They didn't think of heaven. They thought of the kingdom. And see, in reality for us, we say heaven, but we're looking for the kingdom too, because one day Jesus comes as the King of Kings and sets up and rules in righteousness and justice, and we get to be with him 1,000 years on this earth. And then when that's over, he makes a new heavens and a new earth, and we rule with him for all eternity. So it's not heaven. There'll be a time which, if you were to die, to be absent from the body, is present with the Lord. Jesus is in the heavenly places. You'd be with him. But most of our eternity will be on this earth and a new heavens and a new earth. And the kingdom is called the eternal kingdom in 2 Peter. And so Paul is testifying to them about Jesus and about the kingdom. I'm going to show you something more in just a minute. But morning to evening, he taught this. And look what it says. And some were persuaded, and some did not believe. Notice, some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. Now, I want you to remember something, that when we present the gospel to people, when we go out these doors and we talk to people about Jesus, it is not take it or leave it. It is not, oh, I just wanted to tell you what I believe. You can believe anything you want to believe. It doesn't really matter whether you believe in Jesus. We want to persuade them. We want them to understand that this is life or death. We want them to understand that Jesus Christ gives eternal life. And so we want to persuade them. That's why Paul says we persuade men. That's what he says. It says some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. And so we end the book by going down to verse 30. And by the way, in verse 28 and 29, Paul says, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they're going to listen. And it is true that the Gentiles listen. We brought this up last week. I don't want you to have to raise your hands. But I said last week, if you're Jewish, raise your hand. If you're Gentile, raise your hand. And everybody raised their hand. I said, what's happened? See, the message went to the Gentiles, and the Jewish people as a nation, as a whole, not individuals, but as a nation and a whole, have rejected Jesus Christ, while Gentile people have believed in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul said. He said, therefore, let it be known, this salvation of God's going to be sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And then when that happened, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. But look what Paul was doing. He spent two full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him. Now I want you to think about something. Was Paul in prison? We always say he was in prison in Rome for 2 years. Was he in prison? What does it say? It doesn't say he was in a prison, does it? It says he was in his own rented quarters. That means he had a house that he got to stay in. Now, there was a soldier there because he's a prisoner of Rome. He doesn't call himself a prisoner of Rome. He calls himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. But he's in a place. Guess what? He has to pay for it. It's his own rented place. How did Paul get the money to pay for this? For 2 years. Churches sent the money. See, Paul wasn't allowed to work then. Paul's in a rented house. He can't leave. People can come see him, but he can't leave. And it says he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and welcoming all who came to him. And what did he do? He did 2 things. Preaching and teaching. Notice what it says. Preaching about what? The kingdom of God, and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. Now let me show you something. He taught about the kingdom of God. I think we have a chart. You remember the Old Testament, it was all talking about the coming of the Messiah, and you go all the way back to Genesis 3:15 and the promise of the Savior, and in Genesis chapter 12, God chose the Jewish people, and the Messiah is going to come through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all the way up to King David, and this Messiah is going to be the son of David, and they're all looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. And for every Jewish person, they're saying, the Messiah is going to come, and the Messiah is the Savior and the King. The Savior and the King, just remember that. Isaiah talked about the Savior and the King. Zechariah said the King of Israel is coming riding on a donkey. They're looking forward to the King. Because one day the King of Israel, the Messiah and the Savior, is going to rule in righteousness and justice. When Jesus came, the Jewish people as a whole missed their King and their Messiah and their Savior. Many Jewish people trusted in Christ, like Peter and Paul and James and John and all those guys. But as a nation, they missed him. And what God did is he formed a new, Jesus died and rose again, sent into heaven, and he formed the church, which is the body of Christ, which is us, which is made up of both Jews and Gentiles, but primarily Gentiles, because Jewish people as a whole have rejected. One of these days, Jesus is going to come in the clouds. We call it the rapture. He's going to come take the church, the body of Christ, us, off of the face of the earth. It will happen in a moment, a twinkle of an eye. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air. It's called the rapture. On the earth, after we're gone, will be a time period called the tribulation. It will last 7 years. But during that time period, Jewish people will believe in Jesus as Savior. Revelation chapter 7 says 144,000 Jews trust in Christ at the beginning of the tribulation. They spread the message out, and by the time you get to the end, as a whole, the nation of Israel has believed in Jesus as Messiah and Savior. They call upon the name of the Lord, and Jesus comes the second time as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and gets victory and sets up a kingdom and rules for 1,000 years. When Paul was talking for 2 years, and he was preaching the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about right there. That's the kingdom. There's 1,000-year reign on this earth. After that will be a great white throne judgment. After that will be eternity, in which there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And this kingdom will carry on, called the eternal kingdom. Paul was teaching to the Jewish people and to the people who would come to him over the 2-year time period about the kingdom. He also says he was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He proclaimed the great message of Christ. That's our message. You can teach people about the kingdom if you want to, but they need to know about Jesus first, okay? They need to trust in Christ so they can know about the kingdom. Now, I love this because it says, with all openness, unhindered. What stopped him from proclaiming the message? Nothing. What stops us? Nothing. Listen, the word of God can never be stopped. The message of Jesus Christ can never be stopped. You could say, well, Paul got put into prison. That stopped his ministry. No, it didn't. In fact, in Philippians, chapter 1, verses 12 through 13, he said that being chained to a Roman soldier for 2 years, they were also chained to him. And he told over and over the message of Christ, and many Roman soldiers trusted Christ. Philippians says, I want you to know, brother, my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. He says, being in prison has actually helped. we'd say, how could it help? He says, so that because of my imprisonment, the cause of Christ has been well known among the praetorium guards. The praetorium guards were the Roman soldiers who were chained to Paul. He led bunches of them to Christ. The message went to, the message of Christ went to many of the Roman soldiers. Now, let me remind you of something, just so you can put this together when you think of Paul and you think of the Bible. On Paul's first journey, he wrote the book of Galatians. That was around the year 47, 48, 49. On his second missionary journey, from about 49 to about 53, he wrote two letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And on his third missionary journey, he wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians and Romans. So by the time he gets put into prison in Rome, he's already written 6 books of the New Testament. And while he was in prison in Rome, and that's 2 years, and we call it prison because he couldn't leave his own rented house, he wrote Philippians and Colossians and Ephesians and Philemon. And do you realize that Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon were all written at the same time and carried by the same people to these different churches? And then we might say, well, what happened to Paul? What happened to Paul? He was released in about 63 to 65, and he traveled around. And while he traveled around, he wrote what we call 1 Timothy to a man by the name of Timothy. And then he wrote Titus to a man by the name of Titus. And then guess what? They got him again. The Romans this time arrested him because the persecution has come. See, when Paul was arrested the first time in 61, 62, the persecution hadn't come. But about 64, 65, 66, the persecution comes, and the Romans are beginning to kill the Christians. Nero, this young, hypocritical, evil man, let part of Rome catch on fire, and it was his fault, and he blamed the Christians, and they began to take Christians and put them on poles, put wax and oil on them, and set them on fire and let them be the lights. And they began to take the Christians and throw them into the gladiator place and let the lions and the animals eat them up. And this began to happen. And so Paul was arrested again, taken back to Rome in around 60, and I don't know if I have, yeah, in about 67, 68, they killed him. Now, they couldn't crucify him. When they got Peter at the same time, and they crucified Peter. Why? Because he wasn't a Roman citizen. But they couldn't crucify Paul because he's a Roman citizen. Roman citizens couldn't be crucified, so they cut his head off. And we'd say, that's the end of Paul. That's the end of Paul, but that's not the end of the message. The message that Paul proclaimed, and that Peter proclaimed, and that James proclaimed, and John proclaimed, and Philip proclaimed, and Dorcas proclaimed, and the people all over the world that we read about proclaimed, we have the same message. And we're here together this morning to worship our Savior Jesus Christ and to be equipped and trained, and then we're going out these doors with this message of Jesus Christ. We're the ambassadors. We are the ones to our generation as Paul and Peter were to their generation. We continue the book of Acts. That's who we are. The message of Christ to our community. Let me give you some applications real quickly. First of all, know the book of Acts. Know how it fits together. If you just got the first, that chapter 1, verse 8, and you got 1 through 7 in Jerusalem, and 8 through 12 in Judea, Samaria, and 13 through 28 in the rest of the world, you at least got the outline of the book, and you can study it and put it together and know about Paul and Peter and James and John and all of those things. But the second application is this. Be ready to carry the message to our generation. We're ambassadors. We're witnesses. We come in contact with this generation. And I want you to think about something. Be clear on the message. Know what the gospel is. And go to all people. And so I got this next thing, like 4 little things I want you to think about. Know the message, which is the gospel, the good news message that Jesus died and rose again, and that you're saved by faith. Know a method to present the gospel. Know how to share your faith. If you said, I'm not sure how to share it, I'm teaching a class this fall called Becoming a Disciple Maker, and I'm going to teach 4 different ways to share your faith, and in our class, we're going to work on it so we can be confident. So know a method. Pray for people. Pray for people you come in contact with every day that you don't know whether they're a Christian or not. Write down their name and say, Lord, give me an opportunity to talk to them. You may find out they're a Christian. I was in a drugstore downtown. I think Brian and I were there. And as we were going out the door, there were a bunch of Bibles it said, free, take one. And the girl behind the counter, I said, did you put these Bibles up here? And she said, well, actually, no, somebody puts them up there, but we allow them to be put here. I said, are you glad they're here? And she went, yeah, I am. I said, do you know Christ is your Savior? And she said, yes, I do. See, I didn't know she was a Christian, but I found out that she was. We told her we're going to bring a whole bunch of Gospel of John's that she can hand out. And she said, just bring them and we'll hand them out. Pray and then look for the opportunities. Know the message, know a method, pray and look for the opportunities. May we touch our community. And let me tell you, when you begin to touch this community, you're going to touch the whole world. You're going to touch the world. I don't know why y'all know this, but we video this deal and we have podcasts. They go over the whole world. We get letters from people in New Zealand that's listening to the podcast or other parts of the world, and they're saying, could you send us something? And we go, that's going to cost a lot to mail it to New Zealand, but we'll be glad to do it, right? So it's not just here. We're wanting to spread the message to the whole world, but where we start is right here. May we do it.